Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. I know, it's been a while. In fact, I think it's been about 3 weeks since I've posted anything. Oh, I apologize, it's been a long time. My excuse is this, I've been having some health problems. I don't need to elaborate on here, but other than that, just to tell you guys that I can use your prayers. As far as I can tell, I'll be just fine, but they have kind of messed with things a little bit. In conjunction with that, I've had the privilege of teaching at the church I attend for the last month straight. And between teaching and this issue that I've been dealing with, it's just been a rough month. Whatever the case, I'm back. I'm going to keep podcasting. Don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. I just had a little hiatus there. Having said that, I am going to post those five teachings that I did at the church. They're on 2 Peter. I taught expositionally through the book of 2 Peter. And if any of you guys are familiar with 2 Peter, there's a lot in there about false teachers. So if you can imagine, I have a lot to say on that subject. Some of it will be review for you, but at the same time, a lot of it, well, it's just good Bible teaching. So I'll be putting those online along with my regular weekly podcast to try and make it up to you guys. So, in other words, I'm going to be trying to post two podcasts a week for the next, 4 to 5 weeks, if I can pull that off. So we'll see how this works out. Whatever the case, today on the Youth Apologetics Training Podcast, we're going to go in areas that, well, friends, we, for the most part, haven't gone before. We're going to be talking about giants in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 6 and many other places throughout the scriptures, we find that the Bible describes giants. Of course, we all know about Goliath, the giant. What's up with that? When you look at the fossil record, as far as secular science is concerned, there are no giants. So today we're going to be speaking with Chris Leslie of the Greater Ancestors World Museum, also his website, greaterancestors.com, and we're going to be talking with Chris about the existence of giants throughout history. Are there giants? Have there been any giant skeletons found, giant animals, giant plants, giant human beings? What evidence is there of these rather large beings that are described in the Bible? And so with that, Chris Leslie, welcome to the Youth Apologetics Training Podcast.
Thank you.
So, friends, today we're going to be talking about giants. The Bible clearly describes giants in the Old Testament. For example, we see in Genesis chapter 6, there were giants in the earth in those days and also afterward. We see, of course, everybody knows about Goliath.
Right.
There's Og, king of Bashan. This guy was supposedly somewhere around 9 to 13 feet tall. The estimates on that are all over the board, but he had a pretty big bed. And yes, throughout the Old Testament, we see examples of giants. Now, from secular anthropology, from the fossils we find in the dirt, what we see in museums, as far as the secular world is concerned, there are no giants.
Right.
So what's going on here, friends? Is this a contradiction, or is there something else going on here? And I guess, furthermore, well, we're going to be talking to Chris Leslie today about this, and furthermore, how does this the existence of giants impact the evolutionary worldview.
Okay.
And so with that, Chris, yeah, tell us about your museum and your ministry, first of all.
Okay. My museum is based on a concept called Greater Ancestry, and it's a three-tier concept. It's basically about giant humans, giant animals, and greater technology. And those three things are linked. You mentioned Goliath, and one of the cool things that research that I've done is in the cubits. And, you know, like you said, the measurements are all over the place. So I decided to do some research into the cubits, and most of the heights of Goliath are done with a common cubit, which is 18 inches. That's the most modern.
Right.
But the Hebrew cubit in the past, you know, it was one of the earlier ones. It's 24.83 in length. So the further you go back in time, the larger the cubit is. So you have to wonder, what does that mean?
Huh.
And I estimated Goliath's height about, he's about 13 feet tall, and that's pretty tall for somebody in recent times.
Yeah, he would devastate in a basketball game. I mean, he'd just slaughter everybody. But
also at the museum, I have a couple of replicas. The Gath inscription and the Two Gates inscription, both of those have Goliath's name on them. The originals, they come right out of Israel from the area where David slew Goliath. So it's both of them are testimonies to the existence of Goliath. So it's not just a myth. It really happened.
Right. So where is your museum?
It's in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
The location is really unique. In Jacksonville, Florida, at the turn of the century, there was a big fire here, and it just completely leveled the city. So a lot of these architects, world-renowned architects, came here and built the city back up, and they built a lot of banks here in this location. And so at the time, they had these tunnels that go underneath the streets that go from bank to bank, and they were inaccessible to the public. So my museum is in, not only in one of those tunnels, it's in a 1,600 square foot bank vault.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
So you have a hidden history museum inside a bank vault.
The hidden history museum. And what's the mission of this museum then?
The mission is to, well, it's actually part of a bigger goal. By trade, I'm an artist. I'm a theme park artist. So I sculpt whales and sharks and pirate ships, that kind of stuff for theme parks. I've done stuff for the Spy Museum in Washington, you know, in Washington, D.C. And I've done some stuff for Ripley's, believe it or not, and various other theme parks. So I think the museum is just a stepping stone. If I ever get the funding, I want to do a full blown theme park based on giants, because I think it sort of lends itself. But for now, the museum is a really fun project for me.
So this is a museum that pretty much it just documents and displays artifacts that reveal the fact that there were greater ancestors on this planet. There were greater human beings. They were faster. They were bigger and better and stronger
in the
animals in the past. Right. As if you would think we were evolving backwards.
Yeah.
I mean, if evolution, if this paradigm is, if this theory is true, we should be getting bigger, stronger, faster, but it actually is the case that that is going in reverse. Entropy has taken over, and we're actually getting the gene pool is shrinking. We're getting smaller. We're getting weaker.
Yeah, and you know, as you walk into the museum, one of the first things you see is a dragonfly that's 5 feet wide, and there was one that was found in a cave wall in Italy that's this size. It's the largest example. And then right after that, you see this map of horses, and these are horses, the locations of all these horses that are 10 to 13 feet tall from the fossil record, a species called Equus giganteus. And while a lot of mainstream creationists, are talking about rib count, what Hyracotherium really is, I'm showing the devolution, of the horse. I'm showing that it was larger in the past and getting smaller. One thing I also do is, speaking of Hyracotherium, a lot of people will say that that's a hyrax. If that's the case, then it's actually shrunk, because a hyrax is smaller than Hyracotherium. So that would be yet another example of this devolutionary process. When I debate, I try my best not to cross debate. And I saw a banner of a creation group, and it said evolution versus God. And I would never, I might just walk away from that, but I would debate evolution versus devolution. I like to keep it simple and, not mix apples and oranges. If I were to debate, God, on the side of God, I would debate against nature. That's pretty much the bottom-up designer for evolution.
And it's actually a pretty good way to debate. One of the weaknesses of creation scientists and the like who debate is, well, when you get in these debates, well, we absolutely have the upper hand because the theory of evolution has very little going for it.
Right.
But the atheist just turns around and goes on a tirade, poking holes in the Bible, coming up with Bible contradictions. And I mean, there's so much you can bring up, and all of these things that are brought up in these debates have great answers. Unfortunately, it takes you a lot longer to answer the question than it does to bring up an objection. Yeah. And so, yeah, by limiting the scope of the debate and saying, we're going to play in this one little sandbox here and we're not going to go outside of it, that certainly gives you an upper hand in that respect. So, yeah.
And, when you talk about greater ancestry, of course, the opposite of that is common ancestry, the idea that, there's this tree and everything is linked together. I always use the term devolution and common ancestry. It's two points that I believe that the current creation model is missing. All the mainstream groups right now, they don't really have a model. Stasis, what do you say? You say, stasis, what's going on? Nothing happens. And so, but with this model, you can show the decline of everything. And it's got to be frustrating for evolutionists, because for every animal they bring up, if they bring up a chimpanzee, I show them, Java Man, which is just one of my favorite, absolute favorites, and it was found by an evolutionist, Dubois, and he found a leg bone in the skull cap. The first thing he says is that this was a giant chimpanzee. That was his very first comment, and it's, the skull cap is identical. It's just larger. And so because it was larger, I think it was Huxley who came along and said, no, this is an ape man. But I agree with his original assessment that that was a chimpanzee. The leg bone, however, we're talking about, where to start at, a comfortable place to start at if you're a mainstream creationist into, giantism is, start with the Java Man femur, because it's a femur that's 4 inches longer than the average femur. So you're talking about a person who is, upwards around 7 feet tall. So you have a giant right there. There are several others. The Heidelberg Jaw La Pharisee, most of the Neanderthals are giant, you know, giant in size. The skulls are, you know, they're 20 centimeters in circumference. I think the average person is like 16.
Oh, wow.
Their brain cases are bigger. You know, they always say they have a primitive look. I would say they have a more mature look. And out of everything, I'd say, you know, another thing that's missing out of mainstream creation is that word maturity. That's basically what we're looking at, is we're looking at a 5-foot dragonfly that's more mature than dragonflies today. And we're looking at people who are in, you know, 7, 8, 9 feet tall that are more mature than people are today. We sort of think that, you know, we're fully adult, and we are adult, but we're not, we don't reach our peak maturity. That word actually helps with the distant starlight problem too. The idea that starlight, you know, it takes millions or billions of years to get here. But if God created everything mature, then he did the same thing with the stars. Because the Garden of Eden, there wasn't two babies, you know,
with a bag of seeds,
in
right?
The sand with a bag of seeds and eggs. They were fully adults. So it wasn't just some of the creation. All of it was fully mature. And it,
right.
It had the appearance of age.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, yeah. So on your website, greaterancestors.com, uh-huh. You have some amazing examples, just tons of examples of various giant skeletons that have been found, giant artifacts. I guess I'd like to start in the area of stateside. So okay. Talking about greater humans stateside, you actually have a whole page, and you can just scroll down forever, of all the different states and various things that have been found, giant skeletons and the like. Give us some examples from the stateside.
I'll go with my absolute favorite. And if you go to California and go to the San Diego Giant, in 2010, I was doing some research with Micah Ewers, and it was really me. And a lot of the buzz right now is because we were just going through old archives and putting giant evidence out, you know, freely without, you know, thinking of any recourse. So everybody else has all these books on giants, and you know, it's pretty much which we've helped, you know, creating that energy or that buzz for giants. But the
yeah.
San Diego Giants, you know, you have a guy from the Smithsonian and another guy from a bank. He's a banker. And, you know, I guess he's funding the dig. But then you have this, you know, it's a mummy that's 8 feet 4.5 inches that was pulled out of the desert. Now, mummies tend to lose 3 inches. You know, because of the heat, but usually a skeleton or a mummy will lose 3 inches, you know, over time. So he may have been even bigger, but
right.
In this article, and I found this in 2010, and you know, my eyes just widened up when I first saw it, and I said, "This is going to be big." I said, "No one has seen anything like this." In recent times. So I put that out there. Now, the story says that the Smithsonian tested it, and they said that, you know, that it was a fake. So it's not concrete evidence. But the Smithsonian is involved in, you know, they're well known to be involved in a scandal with the giants. Now, almost their name is in almost all these stories. It says that the Smithsonian, you know, will take the mummy or skeleton, and then it's never heard of again. Then it's all denied that it ever existed. But they're involved in more than just giant scandals. There's other scandals, and you can look up Smithsonian scandal, and you can see all kinds of stuff. You know, the idea is, you know, does that make me, you know, a conspiracist? You know, anybody who was looking, you know, at the Piltdown Man and saying that it was not fake, that it was, you know, that, or saying that it was fake, was probably called a conspiracist. So, I would say, you know, if, the other way, conspiracy, it's a conspiracy too, because if you believe that all of these accounts, you know, which have the Smithsonian involved in, if all of them are wrong, or if they all got together and put these fakes out, then that's even a bigger conspiracy, instead of just thinking that this one group or institution is doing it. Let me see, what are some other ones? You know, I had a guy from the, I think what it's called, from Ripley's Believe It or Not, he's the vice president. He came in and he was looking at some of the posters that I have in on the wall, and it mentions the, I think it's the Yosemite mummies in California. If we can find it. Yeah, the Yosemite mummies. And he walks by and he says, "We own that." He's looking at that mummy. It's a female mummy holding a baby. And it's about 6 foot, a little over 6 foot, almost 7 foot tall. But I asked him, I said, where is it located now? He said, it's in Ripley's in Mexico. He said, we've got a Ripley's Museum in Mexico, and it's there. But it was kind of neat. He said, we love the giants. So... He had, the vice president of Ripley's actually came through the museum here.
That's fascinating. I grew up on Ripley's, so yeah. It was always fun to watch.
As you scroll down, you can see some that are very similar, like the Bridal Veil Falls mummy. That's another mummy out of California. There's a lot. Out of all of these, you would think that it would be exhausted. I'll bet I could double this amount if I had three people working around the clock to put up the information for me. I have that much that hasn't been... I do not have enough time to put all these giants onto my website. And, you know, you can see right now that my website is... there's a fair amount of material on it now. But I could easily double it with the research that I've done.
There's a lot of various giants where they are women clutching babies.
Yeah. Now, in Michigan, there's, you know, a giant handprint in Copper Harbor. And I want to see if I can get up to Michigan. There's several handprints that are up there that people have carved. And what, you know, what they'll do is they'll, you know, put their hand up and they'll carve around it. So to show the size of the warrior or whatever, but there's several of them that are really huge, and there's several that are in Michigan that have six fingers, and I want to at some point do a road trip and go up there and see if I can get some replicas of those.
Huh.
Michigan has a lot of giants. The most concentrated right now is Ohio, and I've got evidence for all the counties in Ohio except for 12. So let me see, how much is that? That's like, it's about 60. I have about 60 of the counties that have giants in them in Ohio that I've mapped out. So it's almost the entire state, every county. Before I'm done, I believe I'll have all of it mapped out. One thing that I've done is also in the museum, I have a map of Florida just to try to bring it home to the locals. And I have 40 articles on this map that show the different locations where giants have been found between 7 to 12 feet tall on that map. And it's amazing, you know, right below me is is St. Augustine. St. Augustine is one of the, you know, it's, I think it's the oldest city in the United States. And they talk about the Timaquan Indians being 7.5 feet tall. You can go up here to the Golden Isles just above me in Georgia, and there are giants that are reported there. In Brunswick, there's a report on a 13-footer. Now, all this is within 40 miles of me.
Wow.
In Amelia Island, there were three skulls that were dug out. One of them was a very large skull with double rows of teeth, and another one had triple rows of teeth. And Amelia Island is between Jacksonville and the border. You go towards Tallahassee, and there are stories about, you know, the Spanish explorers and, you know, these giant native chieftains, you know, that were 1.5 feet taller. Even here in Jacksonville, a French explorer says that there were, they met Indians that were 1.5 feet or a head and a half taller than any of their men. So it's, you know, it's where I'm at. It's where you're at. It's everywhere. It's amazing how much evidence there is. And I wish that the mainstream creation groups and churches would lose this fear, because, you know, it really does help the cause. And I don't think people will see it right away, but I think that when, you know, people start recognizing that, hey, there's a giant for a chimpanzee, there's a giant for a gorilla, there's a giant for, you know, for an orangutan, you know, when all those pieces come together, I have to believe that they will lose their faith in pantheism and evolution, and start
sure.
to move towards, you know, well, if everything was better, it does look like it was designed, like it was intelligently designed.
Yeah, yeah. And things just continue to go downhill from there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And again, it's a problem for churches when they have to deny certain parts of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you start saying, oh, well, when the Bible talks about Goliath, it was just speaking in hyperbole, and these giants mentioned in Genesis 6, well, that's actually just the descendants of Cain or something along that line, and they were just really bad people, they weren't really that big. Well, now you're allegorizing the Bible in a sense. That, or you have to admit to some kind of a Bible contradiction.
Right.
Whereas we have positive evidence. We have quite a bit of positive evidence that there were giants on the earth at one time, humongous human beings, plants, animals, and it's actually positive evidence for the scriptures, one, and two, it's actually quite a knockout blow for the theory of evolution as well. Your site is awesome because, yeah, it looks to me like what you have examples from all 50 states, right?
Yeah, all 50 states have examples. And I said, I've got 500 or 600, maybe 700 more that I have still yet to add to that.
Well, if there's anybody out there listening who wants to help and volunteer with Chris, I'm sure he'll take you.
Yeah.
So you also have a link under Greater Humans for international.
Mm-hmm.
What types of finds have been found internationally as far as giants go?
One of my favorites is the Kosselinu skeleton, and it's from France. And this is brought by Michael Ewers. He's the one that first showed me this, but I replicated these actual bones, and these are peer-reviewed. They were peer-reviewed back in the day.
Oh.
So you can scroll over to France and see the Kosselinu. But you can come to the museum and see how big the femur bone is, how big around it. It looks like a cow bone. And it was studied and tested and found to be, you know, found to be legitimate, and it was definitely human. I think at the time the estimates were somewhere, and this is one of the largest examples, possibly 11, 12 foot.
Wow. One of them.
Oh, but
I thought.
Now, while we're in France, the Glozell handprints. Now that's a very interesting one. I have a replica of the Glozell, of one of the Glozell handprints. I was allowed a photograph of one of the handprints. Now, the Glozell Museum. I have to, you know, go through and type everything up, and then go through Google Translate and send them a letter in French. But I contact them about every year to see if I can get pictures or more information about those finds. From what I know, they have about 15 handprints. The one that I have is the smallest, and it's 8 3/4 inches. The largest is, they say, is about 15. So a 15-inch handprint, that's, there's people that have had a 12-inch handprint. So we're talking about, you know, in excess of 3 inches. But if you come and, you know, people put their hand in the Glozell handprint here at the museum, and they always say, wow, that's a big hand. And I say, that's the smallest of 15. And that just blows their mind.
Wow. Wow. What about this Egyptian finger?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That blew me away.
There, that's one of those that, you know, now we're breaking out of, you know, the idea of it just being a greater ancestor. Now you have to get into the, you know, is it Nephilim? There's some people that have said that it might be, you know, an enlarged finger from, like, acromegaly or something like that. And there are examples of that, but never, their joint links never match up. So this is a perfect finger. Supposedly it was one of those that is stolen. It's stolen now. And I guess the people are upset who had it. But yeah, people broke in and stole it. It's gone. No one can test it.
Oh, so all we have is pictures of it.
Yeah. However, I do think it's interesting, and I've replicated that one as well, and you can see a exact size replica of that here at the museum.
I think I remember seeing that it was 15 inches long.
Yeah.
Just the finger.
Yeah, and what's really blows my mind is that it looks like a pinky. Out of all the fingers, that's the one it looks like, is the pinky.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it.
I would suggest, if you're a little bit sheepish about, you know, the giant subject, I would stay away from the really big stuff. And I would start looking at the Neanderthals. You know, several of those, they just have a larger brain size than today. I would also suggest to go through and learn what averages, you know, what the average femur length is and what the average of different bones are. So, you know, that's the best place to start. Then you will recognize what, you know, what is a giant. And we're just talking about, you know, between 7 to 9 feet for the most part.
Yeah.
Robert Wadlow, you know, Robert Wadlow, he's the largest. If you go to Wikipedia, it says he is the largest person for whom there is irrefutable evidence. And Guinness Book has him as the largest person that ever existed. So I made a couple of YouTube videos. The first one's called 100 Ancients Taller Than Robert Wadlow. And these are just people, you know, within a foot taller than him. And then I put out another one, another 100 Ancients Taller Than Robert Wadlow. But this is, it says specifically that there's no one taller. He's the tallest person ever. So it kind of gives you the perspective, if I can come up with 200 people taller than him from history, you know, just barely taller than him, then what is it that people are being taught?
Man. So I'm being a little distracted here. He was 8'11".
Yeah, 8'11".
And you look at these pictures, and he is just huge.
Yeah. You can go to my YouTube page. I've got several videos. One's on Spanish explorers, multinational explorers. You know, in Colorado, I think it was Coronado who he discovered the Colorado River giants. And there are several others. You can hardly name a Spanish explorer that did not mention giants. I mean, it's across the board.
What is your YouTube page?
There
it is, Chris Leslie, yeah. YouTube. Yeah, there we go. You just type into Google Greater Ancestors YouTube, you'll be able to find it too. Yeah.
And there's a few on there on greater technology. I don't lean towards the alien idea that, you know, if there's greater technology that it's alien. What I do lean towards is that people were smarter. It was Solomon, King Solomon said that there's no new thing under the sun. And, you know, I can hardly ever find the people that will actually believe that. You know, Jesus said that Solomon was the smartest man that ever lived.
Right.
You know, so if he says that there's no new thing, then, you know, you should automatically think that, you know, that, yes, that's existed in the past. But I think it's like an arrogance that's ingrained in all of us. So one of the things that I've done is the concept of robotics. And you can see videos on my website about robotics that are mentioned in history. They claim to have mechanical people in the past. And so, you know, I put that out there as well. There's, like I said, airplanes, automobiles, just about everything. There's some mention. Montezuma from Mexico, some of the Spanish explorers said that he had wheeled war machines. And so, you know, that sounds a lot like a automobile or tank.
Interesting.
There are also other evidences like suits of armor. There's suits of armor of, you know, people 6'9", 7', you know, that, you know, they had to be that big just to wear the armor. But if you talk, you know, to go to some secular source, it will say that the armor in the past was smaller, so that, you know, people in the 16th century must have been real small. And most people will say that, you know, the Spanish explorers, they were 5'6". That's what we always hear.
Right.
They were 5'6" in the 1800s, but if you go back to the 1600s, they were 5'8¼". And they've done some studies, and you can see that there was 2.5 inches that was lost between that time period. So, you know, the time of the Spanish explorers was in the 1600s, which is when they were at their peak height, you know, at that time.
Huh. So, I read on your site, what's up with these 500-foot-tall...
500-feet tall?
500 of the 15-foot... tall Peking giants. What's up with that?
These are from China.
Who aren't necessarily known for being taller.
Right. Yeah, this is an early account. 1555, this is long, long ago. And there's archaeologists claims that there were skeletons of 15-foot giants. And there's a link at the bottom that you could go to and find more information. I always try to give people credit and put the original source on there. so people can, you know, find more information and follow up and do what I call giant hunting. I call myself a giantologist, while, you know, people that take what I put out there and go further, I call them giant hunters. And so they're actually doing the legwork for me. Yeah, you asked me about what were some of my favorite giants in as far as giant humans go, one of my favorites is the San Diego Giant. I found that article back in, let me see, it was in 2010. And it's a mummy that was found in a cave, and it was placed in a 10-foot coffin. It's 2.5 feet wide and 2 feet deep, and covered with glass. Amazingly, the Smithsonian bought it for $500. And once they got it in the possession, they said it was a fake, and then it disappeared. And they claim they don't have it, and they don't know what happened to it. Just, it was lost in time. But that particular one is a good photograph of two men that are about 5'8", and they are standing beside a Native American mummy that is 8'4".
Wow.
A skeleton or mummy will lose 3 inches in height when it dehydrates. So it could have been 3 inches taller. So that would make it 8'7". And to give you a comparison, out of 7 billion people on our planet today, there are 3 8-footers. So when we...
Who holds the record right now for the tallest person, as far as, like, you know, in modern times, something that's recorded, like in the Guinness Book of World Records?
Well, the Guinness Book, it does something pretty amazing. It gives the tallest person for whom there ever lived, that ever lived, for whom there's irrefutable evidence, and they say that that was Robert Wadlow. And he's dead now. But he lived, I think, back in the 40s. But Guinness Book of World Records, Wikipedia, and all the major sites say the exact same thing. He's the tallest man ever, tallest man ever. So one of the things that I did is I put out a YouTube video that had 100 ancients taller than Robert Wadlow. And I put that out there. And then I put another one out there called Another 100 Ancients Taller Than Robert Wadlow.
where can people find those videos, by the way?
That's on my YouTube page. Just look for the Greater Ancestors YouTube page. That may be under my name, Chris Leslie. But there's over 1,000 examples. I kind of overdid it. At the end, I added some of the largest accounts, 200, 400 individuals that were over 9 feet. And I kept it in the range. I just wanted to show people that, you know, just 9-footers. There's a lot of 10-footers, but I just wanted to keep it in the range. So there's no 9-footers today. And people take it lightly, you know, when we say that there are 8-footers. And like I said, there's only 3 on our whole planet.
Hmm. Yeah, that is interesting. And yeah, you're right. It is Chris Leslie is your YouTube channel.
Okay.
But I found it just by typing into Google, Greater Ancestors YouTube. But either way, yeah.
Yeah, and so you can go to there's a lot of stuff on there about ancient technology, greater technology from the past, and in the future I'll be adding a lot more having to do with animals and stuff like that.
So how tall did you say that this Native American was? 8'4", and it might even be up to 8'7".
Yeah.
If you rehydrate him.
8'7". He's still under Robert Wadlow, but it shouldn't even be there. If evolution were true, you know, there shouldn't be a single 8-footer in the fossil record, but like I said, there's hundreds of even 9-footers. Like, a lot of people were saying that there was only about 1,000 counts, and that was, you know, even some of the giantologists, they would say there's only 1,000 accounts of giants. But I proved that wrong when I made those two videos. There's close to 2,000 9-footers alone.
Whoa.
And I'll be doing some new videos in the future on that, on 9-footers as well. And I chose 9-footers just because of Robert Wasso, just to kind of outdo that and show academia to be wrong.
And so what other favorites do you have as far as, like, tallest humans go?
Another one is you know, locally to me, it's within 60 miles of my location, and it's called the Vero Man, and it's a giant from Vero Beach. And there was a skeleton that was found in Florida, in Vero Beach, Florida, and I spent a lot of time there when I was young. I used to go to the beach all the time, and we always went to Vero Beach. But in the New Smyrna Daily News, January 5th, 1917, it talks about a skeleton was found there, and the title of the article is Fossil Found at Vero Say Men Grew 12 Feet Tall.
Whoa.
And so this is the largest example in Florida. Now, I believe it's the University of Miami. They had the skull there, and they had made a replica of the skull, and I think they just have the replica now. They don't have the original skull. Amazing how you can lose a skull of a person who is claimed to be 12 feet tall.
Right, that's an odd coincidence.
But I'm planning on doing some follow-up research on that, and I'll be making a road trip and trying to locate 18 folders on Vero Man, and then I'm going to bring them back here to the Greater Ancestors Museum, and I'll have those for public display so people can see that. Right now at the museum, you know, we have posters for sale of the San Diego Giant and Vero Man as well. And there's some other leads on there, like some titles of different articles. I have a list of every news article on that poster that Vero Man appeared in. So that's a pretty good thing for giant hunters to have.
So let me ask you this, and this one's coming from nowhere, but mm-hmm. As far as giants go, is there any specific traits that are common to these giants? I don't know, extra fingers, extra toes, extra teeth, strange facial features, elongated skulls, anything like that?
As far as the elongated skull, I've spoken with Brian Forster down in Paracas, and he sent an email to me saying that, yeah, the skeletons that have been found associated with these elongated skulls were 7 feet tall. Now, people say, well, you know, 7 foot, we have 7 foot people today, you know, basketball players and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to go and start digging up graves right now, you would have to dig up randomly 2.3 million to find a 7-footer. That's how rare they are. So it's one in every, you know, 2.3 million is a 7-footer. So, you know, it's extremely rare. As far as basketball players, there's not that many over 7'3". 2013 to 2014 year in basketball, there was only one person who was 7'3". and nobody was taller. So we just automatically think that, you know, everybody that plays the basketball is 7 foot. That's not true. So, you know, when we say there's 47 footers or, you know, 207 foot or an entire tribe of Timaquans that were 7 to 7.5 feet, you know, that's a big deal.
Interesting. So flipping over to the other side of the website, we were talking about greater animals, bigger animals. What's up with the giant rabbit?
That's one of my favorites. It is one of my favorites. That's one that actually my wife brought to me. It was on my list of fossils to be found, which was, you know, getting to be a non-list. Everything that I have on there that has been difficult has been found. And as far as giantologists, I'm the only guy out there that says that there are no exceptions. You know, every animal we have today has a greater ancestor without exception. But yeah, the giant rabbit, that's a real, I was so excited when she found that. And that was my wife. She had found that one. Here's some news. They just put a Titanoboa exhibit at the Jacksonville Zoo. It's about a 55 foot, snake. The widest area is 3 feet across. That's how big this snake is. They have the bones. I've got some pictures of me holding the bones. I was so thrilled. And, while I was there, I was actually doing the install. I had worked on it for 8 days, so I was working for the company that was building this giant snake for display, Pizzazz Scenic Company. And there were 33,000 scales that had to be attached, and some of them were, you know, 3 inches wide. So if you can imagine 33,000 scales and 3 inches wide, that's a pretty big snake.
Yeah.
And so I was involved in the construction of that thing, which I'm thrilled to death that I was able to be a part of that. And that happened about a month ago, I think. And it's going to be up at the Jacksonville Zoo on display until October. So.
Well, that would be something to see.
Yeah.
And hopefully not meet in person.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also in the museum something I'm working on here, and it's the Otis Wood pit viper skull. Otis Wood is a guy, I believe he's out of Kentucky, and he had found a pit viper, which is basically a rattlesnake. It's 10 7/8 inches from the nose to the back of the head.
What?
So normally a rattlesnake, you know, has a head that's about 2 inches, and this one is 10 7/8. So I'm halfway through construction of building this pit viper that you can see at the Greater Ancestors World Museum from that size.
Wow.
So
wow.
Yep, so that's going to be a neat display.
So going back to the rabbit real quick, how big was that rabbit?
I'm going to have to check that.
I'm
trying to remember that one, but...
It exceeds 10 times the estimated body mass.
Uh-huh.
More than 10 times larger than the wild O. caniculus from Spain. It's more than 2 times larger than individuals of the northernmost populations of the largest species of the genus Lepus europaeus. Gosh, I don't know if it says just how big it is.
I mean, if there is no actual measurement in here, I may have to go back and check that. But one cool thing on the site, you can see the comparison with the bones. There's several bones And, you know, some of the tips compared to the, you know, normal size rabbit, it's giant size. There's one in particular, it's the second picture, going down on that link. And it says 2 centimeters. I mean, that's just the tip. So, you know, when you're talking about 80%, that's insanely huge. Yeah, that is one of my favorites. There's a armadillo. A fairy armadillo.
That is a big bone.
Yeah, from an armadillo. Even the giant armadillo, you know, that's the name of it. There's the largest armadillos today. They call it the giant armadillo. I think they need to change the name just because of the ones in the past. That bone is huge.
And what bone would you say that is?
That is definitely a femur bone.
A femur bone, and it is easily half the height of this guy holding it.
Yeah, so it's 2.5, 3 feet, something like that, close to it.
And it's got the girth of a tree trunk that's probably, you know, maybe a 15-year-old tree.
Yeah, the bone itself is the size of a man's leg, you know, in diameter.
Yeah, yeah.
Easy. Yeah, that
and an armadillo. And yeah. Those guys are fairly small.
Yeah. One of the largest ones is Peltophilus giganteus, and I don't believe that one is on my website yet. But that one is from a pink, today it's called a pink fairy armadillo. And there are two species. One of them is 3 inches long, the other one is 5 inches long. That's how big they are today. In the fossil record, it's 20 feet in length and has a set of horns, and it's called Peltophilus giganteus. And that's one of the largest, that's the largest example I know, and it comes from the smallest example today. I think it's the most extreme example of an animal shrinking. And they do seem to shrink at different rates too. None of them, I guess it's because they're programming, you know, the designer, when God made them, he thought up, you know, in time span how small every animal would be, you know, in accordance to man. So he keeps everything in balance.
Okay, so on that note, we see all of these giant animals. We see humans being larger in the past. Mm-hmm. What does that mean for an onwards, upwards, bigger and better evolutionary paradigm?
It means that just the opposite is happening of what, you know. It means evolution has the inconvenience of being false. It's just wrong. It also means that evolution has devised a clever way of getting rid of 98% of the fossil record to promote an anomaly. Greater ancestry is a scientific model that works within all fossils. Evolution is a framework, you know, common ancestry, which works in an anomaly. The evolutionists, they get rid of 98% of the fossil record with one word, extinct. The truth is all these animals are mislabeled extinct. They are the animals that are living today. They are just have shrunk. So what the evolutionists do, they compare different species and they rank them, you know, in different orders, completely different species, and they ignore all these giants. And to give you one really good example, the giant horse, the horse evolution chart goes, you know, it's one of the clearest examples of what they call, you know, evolution from a smaller animal to a larger animal. But the truth is that they're completely different animals, different rib count, different bone structure, different number of toes. And even in some of those, you can see that the larger ones were earlier and they shrunk. But evolution avoids, like the plague, the giant horses. Equus giganteus, Equus enormus. There's even some normal sized horses that are found, you know, at the same level and below the earliest horses, supposedly in the evolutionary timeline. But in Oregon, in Montana, in Texas, there were horses that were found at the time in back 1800s that were reported to be 30 feet tall.
What?
And there's not one example. There's three examples from different states of horses 30 feet tall. There are multiple newspaper articles, like the Pittsburgh Press, November 4th, 1906. The title is 30 feet tall. Another one, the Oregon Daily Journal, August 23rd, 1906. 30-foot horse fossil is unearthed.
Now, I'm sure they just didn't know how to use a tape measure back then. They weren't qualified to make that measurement.
Yeah. I'm sure that there are lots of excuses, you know, for this, but one thing's for sure, you know, Equus giganteus, you know, is average 10 to 13 feet tall. It's larger than the largest draft horse, and it's numerous. There's new finds. There was one in El Salvador found about 8-9 months ago. So they're still finding them in Canada, even in Central America. So I think when I'm putting a book out right now called Giant Horse, and that book is going to go through, you know, modern times. The largest horse is a horse named Radar. I believe he's 19 and a half hands tall. A hand is 4 inches. I'll tell you how tall it was. But I go back looking through old archives, and I find horses mentioned in the 1900s, early 1900s, that were 20 hands tall and 21 hands tall. And then I go back into the 1800s and show reports of horses 22 and a half and 23 hands tall, where they just consecutively get bigger the further back in time you go.
When is that book, when do you think you're going to have that completed?
I'm going to try to finish this book out before the year's over, hopefully during the summertime.
Are you going to just put it like on Kindle, or are you going to have it printed, or what are you thinking?
I'm going to have it printed. It's going to be a printed book. I haven't put out a book yet. And you know what's funny is I've put out comic books. I've done about 6 comic books, and I've had them all to print. And if you're a comic book enthusiast, you know that's a big deal. And nobody will even talk to you in the comic book industry, you know, until you put out your first book. And it's amazing. I think, you know, in a lot of circles, it's the same way. If you haven't had a book out yet, you know, you're still slightly illegitimate. Well, I'm about to break through that barrier for myself.
Oh man, yeah, I am a recovering comic book geek. When I was a young guy, I collected all the stuff, and I still have boxes that I'm holding on to, hoping that someday they'll amount to something. But yes, all the stuff that you're seeing movies of right now, I have those comic books.
Yeah.
And they are in mint condition, all with backboards, and packed away in a dark place. And, that's just something I did when I was a little kid. I had a paper out and I collected all kinds of comic books. And, I thought, you know, maybe when I got older, it was like, maybe I should hold on to those. Those might actually help me someday.
Right.
So, little tiny nest egg sitting there.
Yeah,
who knows?
I have the same. Maybe now's the time to take them out and sell them. But
yeah.
But I've done artwork across multiple fields. I'm actually doing some abstracts for the transportation department here in Jacksonville, and also doing murals and working on. Right now, doing laser tag arenas. It's all black light, so I'm actually working in the dark. All you can see is the glow in the dark paint, you know, when you're painting. But it's really fun. I like the job.
So tell everybody about your museum.
The museum is in Jacksonville, Florida. It's at 121 Forsyth Street, and you have to go underground in order to go in the museum. So you go into the Atlantic National Bank building. There's always a guard there. You just tell them you want to go see the museum. They'll know exactly what you're talking about. And you go into the underground, which is, there was a series of bank tunnels where they used to transport cash. And it was unavailable to the public. So they had these tunnels going under the streets of Jacksonville. And here in recent times, they've opened up two of those tunnels. And one of the tunnels, you know, is where the museum is. I have a gallery in there as well. That's the majority of my space. But in that gallery, there's a bank vault that is between 1,400 and 1,600 square feet. It's a giant vault. It's the largest.
Wow.
It's probably the largest one in Jacksonville. But that's where the museum. So it's a hidden history and giant museum inside of a bank vault.
That's fun.
Yeah. And if a war happens and people are dropping bombs or, you know, there's a tornado, you know, I'll just open it up to the public and they can come here for safety.
There you go. All right. Well, yeah, I might have to come visit that next time I'm out that way. I'm looking at your Facebook page right now, the Greater Ancestors World Museum.
Yeah.
And there are some pictures on there. And so, yeah, looks interesting.
So we are trying to boost up traffic on our YouTube page and our website. So we've been doing a lot of things to try to raise money with the GoFundMe projects. You can see a couple of GoFundMe projects on the homepage. You can also see donate buttons, and that money goes directly to materials and resources for the museum.
And that's on your website, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Oh, yes. Okay, yeah, top right-hand corner pretty much.
Yeah.
Ish. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, Chris, it's been an honor. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
You're welcome.
All right, so we're going to stop right there. Again, that's Chris Leslie of the Greater Ancestors Museum. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. That was a fun conversation. Whatever the case. Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I could use your prayers. And yes, I am hoping to post another podcast towards the end of this week. This will be again on 2 Peter chapter 1. So with that, I love you guys, and we'll see you on the next one.